Hello and welcome to this very special episode of SlyCast. It seems like every SlyCast we do now is a very special one because of the timing involved. But this one is an episode that I knew we were going to have to do probably dating about 14 months ago that we were going to have this episode. And I am super thrilled to bring to the show probably the biggest person that I would want to talk about this movie with. And that is show co-host Mike Kunda. Mike, welcome.
Craig, it is so good to talk to you, man. I've been dying to get your thoughts on this as well as express my own thoughts. And I think we're in for a pretty good talk here. So thank you for dialing me in. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure. And we always have great discussions. And of course, we're going to be talking about the new cut of Rocky IV, which is dubbed Rocky vs. Drago, the ultimate director's cut. And Mike, I we're going to do a little bit of a catch up on what's been going on since we last talked. But you were at the premiere in Philadelphia the other night for this movie, and you had a pretty in-depth discussion about that on your podcast, The Rocky Files, right?
Yeah. It's actually going to, it'll be, by the time this airs, it'll be out. It'll be our latest episode. And so we do go into detail there, but I will tell you, it was quite remarkable. Not in the way that people would think. I got asked by Sly about 6 months ago. He had sent me a message and he wanted to thank me for all I had been doing my entire life for, my passion for Rocky and everything with the tours and the gigs and my writings and everything. And he said, Mike, he goes, would you be my personal guest at the premiere in Philadelphia with me? And it's like, I'll give that a big duh. Yeah, I will be there. You tell me when and I'm there. So that was an amazing peak to this journey I've been on. So there I got some time. I did see Sly and I got a lot of FaceTime actually with Burt Young.
I saw that picture. Yeah.
Yeah, and we had recalled, Bert recalled when he invited me up to his house the same week Sully landed on the Hudson. Wow. And so we recapped our time a little bit, what's been going on. And Bert was great. He couldn't be a more gracious gentleman. And the crowds were amazing. And the biggest thing I think that happened was all the people that showed up, they couldn't get in because they, you know, it was invite only. But they hung out front of the theater. And one of the most, I think, humbling experiences I've ever had were these people who came from all over the country and flew in from, you know, around the world, actually, just on the hopes to see one, Sylvester, and two, they wanted to meet me. If they hadn't taken my tour, they follow me on Instagram or whatever, and they love what I do, and it was very humbling. So tune in on the Rocky Files, and I go into really, really great detail. Also, a incredibly humiliating story that's hysterical happened to me moments before walking into the theater, and it's well worth listening to the podcast to hear it.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I'll include a link in the show notes there. And then also, Mike, that same sort of the next day was the Rocky run. So a lot of people had reason to be in Philly.
Oh, my God. I mean, it was a Rocky paradise. If you were to die and you like if you woke up in the morning, you would have thought you died walking on the streets because there was Paulie's, Hulk Hogan's. There were guys in chicken costumes. There was a guy dressed as the rubber ball. Rocky bounces, Rocky costumes everywhere. And this is all for, like you said, the big Rocky run. And it was just, you know, 10 or 12,000 people all over the place. And everyone was talking Rocky, playing Rocky music. The city was fired up over it. And I had tours. I had actually Burgess Meredith's granddaughter on my tour. And so we had a lot of fun.
Oh, excellent. So yeah, let's sort of work our way there, Mike, because I think the last time we talked on air was for the Daylight episode we did, which was well in the middle of the pandemic still, where things weren't really opened up yet, and you weren't really doing a lot of tours. So how have things been going since we last talked?
You know, it's been interesting. I don't think I'll be doing the tours anymore, actually. I think this weekend was my last tour. I actually went to I went back to medical school and I got my degree. I've been delivering babies. I've been helping people with a lot of neuroses, problems with the mind. I went and I got 16 doctorates in different types of healing, conversion therapy, with medical problems where people think that they are someone else and they're not. They don't realize.
I gotta learn to stop setting you up like that, Mike.
I know. No, I didn't go back to school. Are you kidding me? After 12th grade, I got out of high school with a D minus there. I would never go back to school. What have I been doing? After COVID kicked our asses, things started getting back doing well right around. I'd say tours came back November of last year, mm-hmm. but that was only like two or three a month.
Yeah,
I'd say right around late February when I got my vaccine. That's when everybody's getting their vaccines, and that's when tours started going back up to probably around 12 to 18 a month. So I've been fairly busy with that. I have a few writing programs. I'm doing writing projects I'm working on. I've found the value of really getting into storytelling via writing. I thought I might do a sequel to my book because the book has been selling more and more lately. And really, the most exciting part of my life has been after Cue the Rocky Music. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes. And I've just been reflecting, really, my time and just how incredible my life has panned out. I mean, yeah, through hard work, but also a little bit of luck through friends and so on. And I guess the biggest change has been my friendship with Sylvester Stallone.
Amazing.
It literally has gone from a little fanboy to Sylvester's respected friend. And we've had, I'm looking at maybe 60, 70 conversations we've had at just different facts and figures about Rocky. He's been very, very kind to me. He gave me a big shout out 2 weeks ago.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
I remember the amount of joy I felt for you, Mike, when I heard that shout out, because I've done this on the show before, and it's I hate doing this to people and putting them on the spot like this, but it truly made me feel absolute joy for you, Mike, because having read your book, having had conversations with you on and off the podcast,
yeah,
I know how important that character is to you, and the man who created that character, reaching out to you like that. It's nobody deserves those moments that you've gotten, I'm sure, with Sly more than you.
Thanks, Craig. It's one of those things where I get very, very emotional about it. Even right now, I feel the emotions rising up when I really sit and think about it. What are the odds that 11-year-old kid in 79 sees Rocky, grows up, becomes a version of Rocky via tours and gigs, and becomes friends with the guy who respects what I do? Because it could have gone the other way. I mean, I could have been a deranged individual and, Sly could have put a cease and desist order. Who knows? I mean, it could have gone woefully wrong. And I mean, to this day, I always wonder what goes on at Sly's house. Because I know his wife is well aware of me, and I assume maybe his kids know what goes on or something. They probably do. I wonder if they tease him about me, like not in a bad way, but like I wanted to ask him, like, does he get any blowback because, I do what I do, and he's so open and gracious to me about it. I wonder if they goof or tease on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can imagine that. So we did mention the Rocky Files, and this is a project you started up. And for people that haven't watched it yet, like I said, I'll include a link. This would be a great episode to jump on board with. But this is a video podcast you do. So for those who aren't aware of it, can you talk a little bit about the Rocky Files?
Yeah, thank you. I got caught up in my own BS. It's going down talking about Stallone. I really wanted to mention the Rocky Files. So I have two co-hosts, Stacy and Anthony. Stacy's from New Hampshire. Anthony is a plumber from Canada, and they're just Rocky fans. They're just huge Rocky fans. And the thing, I had done a previous podcast before that really didn't suit my nature. It went against a lot of things that I am as a person. So I had to kind of back out of that podcast, and I took what I learned from that and I applied it to this new one. And it's a podcast about Rocky by Rocky fans for Rocky fans. But we don't really feature like well-known celebrities. Having said that, we just had Al Bandiero on the other day. That's actually a one-off. For those who don't know who Al Bandiero is, he was American commentator number two in the Balboa Drago fight. He's the guy that says Balboa's chopping down the Russian, you know. And he was wonderful. He was out just helping to promote the new director's cut. Anyways, we bring on fans who have had an incredibly emotional connection to the character of Rocky, like myself. And I always believed everyone has a story. They have a really amazing story. And if they're willing to put it out there, we want to hear those stories and we'll interview them. Stacy does a little pre-interview first, get an idea of what they're all about. And then we go from there and we kind of talk. I talk about some of my stories of my life, things that, the road, the journey I've been on. And we kind of talk about the latest and up-to-date things and what's going on in Stallone's life. So, you know, if you want to hear heartfelt stories from everyday people, that's what our podcast is about. It's free. I'm not into any of that Patreon garbage. I don't, that's not who I am. This is something I do for the love of it. Yeah. I have a business. I get paid that way. This is something I just want to do for fans. Fans have been so good to me on my tours and so on. This is kind of like an extension of my tours. So, and we thought video. I'm not a big guy on, I don't like to listen to podcasts. like I can't even tell you over the Slycast podcast. I don't think I've ever listened to them. Yes, we've done them. So I know what we all say, but I'm not an audio guy. I'm more visual. That's my medium. And so, they were all on board for it and we do some, it is kind of funny and I poke a lot of fun at myself. So yeah, there you go.
Excellent. Again, I'll include a link to that, all the relevant Thanks. Links to that show in the show notes. And Mike,
one more thing. Hang on. Yeah. Well, I forgot. I should have said this.
Yeah.
This is the reason why I agreed to do the Rocky Files podcast. There was one thing missing from every single Rocky podcast out there. And they're all good. You guys do a great job. I know Doug did his thing. Ryan did his thing. And they're all very, very, very good. But the one thing I noticed that no one does is the Adrian factor. Mm. There are no females on any of the podcasts that talk about Rocky. And Anthony brings a technical expertise to the show, plus his own passion. And Stacy brings the Adrian factor from a feminine point of view. I cannot tell you what that meant to me. That is something that is a very big different thing on our podcast. I just want to throw that in. I almost forgot that.
No, that is, that's a great point. There are, in my opinion, there needs to be more female voices in podcasting. And I will say that Ryan has added, on occasion on his show, a co-host from Colorado named Kate.
That's so good.
Yeah. So I'm always, I always love hearing, the female perspective, especially like you said, the Adrian factor. That's a great term for it.
Right.
Again, I'll include the relevant links there.
Thank you.
Mike, I got to tell you, though, we were originally heard rumblings of this Ultimate Director's Cut, fall 2020. Yeah. And there was even speculation it was going to come out in time for the 35th anniversary.
Right.
Which didn't happen. So it sort of became this long waiting game. And Sly was sharing a lot of stuff on social media. About a week before the movie came out, he shared that 90-minute documentary.
Yeah.
But I got to say, Mike, I didn't really start feeling the true excitement until like probably Wednesday night, where it almost became like Christmas Eve. Can you talk about sort of your feelings leading up to the release of this new Ultimate Director's Cut? Because I know we're both not as big a fan of part four as some other people out there. So
yeah,
just what was your whole take on this leading up to it coming out?
Well, when Sly originally had said he was going to do, you know, he had, they had to stop the filming of Samaritan. So he said, what are you going to do over the coming year? And he said, okay, I've always wanted to fix Rocky IV. And that's hard for the fans of Rocky IV to hear. They don't want anything changed on that. And I can respect that. I don't understand it because Rocky IV was a heavily flawed movie. But yet I respect their pain in having to see things cut up. So I was very excited because I fall in the line of more dramatic scenes in the Rocky movies. And that's kind of where Sly was leading us to believe he was going. And that is where he did go. I would say I was incredibly excited from the get-go because I do not like that I don't like the first the original Rocky IV. And I shouldn't even say I don't like it. It's just my least favorite just because of the goofiness of it. And yeah, that is not me attacking Rocky IV. Sylvester has said he took out all the goofy moments. I mean, that I'm only reiterating what he has said. Mm-hmm. So I was really building an excitement. And not until I had done a silly promotional take on Eminem's rap video when Sly reached out to me and loved what I did and invited me as his a guest to the premiere, I said, oh my God, this has gone to the next level. But at the same time, Craig, I have to tell you, I wasn't so much excited as I was stressed out because here I am. I'll be talking with Sly. I'll get some time with him. Will I disappoint him in conversation? I was more stressed about all of that. I couldn't enjoy the buildup. And I don't know why that happened to me because I had been around Sly many times talking and I don't know what happened. I don't know why I began to doubt my conversation skills. But anyways, I'm like you. The week before, it was really in our faces. All the Sly was doing a lot of posts on it. And I don't know if a lot of people realize this. There were some subtle hints Sly dropped via hashtags. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of palace intrigue a week before. There literally was the documentary was never going to see the light of day. There were forces at work that did not want that to happen. And we were not even 100% sure that the movie was going to be re-released to the public. Fathom Events had already sold all those tickets. There was no guarantee, and a lot of people didn't realize that at such a late venture. And that's crazy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I do want to talk a little bit, Mike, and I know it's become a sort of a polarizing subject as we've gotten more far removed from it. But I do know way back when we talked Creed 2, you had said, you know, how much you appreciated what Creed 2 did for Rocky 4. Did that, you know, sort of heighten your anticipation for this new Ultimate Director's Cut and the potential to maybe bridge those movies a little bit better?
It absolutely did because, like I said, although I think Creed 2 was a overall missed opportunity, it could have been far superior to what we got. I have a fair idea of what the original script was that Sly wrote. They did a good enough job for me to open up my heart again to Rocky IV and not be so angry with it. And the thing I liked about it was the Drago side, because I wholeheartedly want a Drago movie. I really, really do. And, you know, we'll see where that goes. But the connection, like you said, you know, in Rocky IV Director's Cut, we see a different side of Drago. And I appreciate it. Even though it was minute, it was there if you're a studious observer.
Yeah, so let's get into a little bit of the differences between this director's cut and the theatrical cut, and you know what maybe worked for us, and potentially what didn't work for us. And yeah, I was very curious about that, Mike, because I'm going to have a discussion later on this episode with Sean Malloy from the I Must Break This podcast. So I'm sure we'll get into a lot of Dolph Ivan Drago centric discussion, but how did you feel about Drago sort of being a little bit more presence vocally in that movie? And then also getting the reduction of the Ludmilla character.
So I don't know why Ludmilla was deleted. I mean, I think I know why Ludmilla was deleted, but I didn't think that hurt the original Rocky IV. I thought that was fine. I don't know if Sly had ex-wife syndrome. I don't know if he felt when she said, like your papa, he ate his spinach every day. Maybe it had nothing to do with their contentious breakup. Maybe he just didn't like the Popeye line. I don't know. I never took it as goofy. So I'm not quite sure on that, but I can tell you with Dolph, I thought he was far more menacing here. And I say that because of the subtleness at the press conference with Apollo Creed, when he drinks the water, he takes that slow sip. I didn't come here to lose like that. And the overconfidence that he had was so intimidating, especially when he's beneath the stage at the fight to mm-hmm. fight Creed, and they bring him up like King Kong. Like there was just a confidence there that I found very, very intimidating. And you know, we see more of that Michael Pataki, I think, too, which I think built the Russian mystique a little more.
Yeah. So my kind of takeaway was, I almost feel like maybe some of those choices were made to reduce her role and amplify Dolph's and Michael Pataki's. And that was to sort of, it felt to me, and I've only watched this Ultimate Director's Cut 2 times. Please don't judge me.
Yeah.
But it almost felt to me like Sly took the Cold War aspect out of the movie.
I don't know. I thought I felt the Cold War aspect even more because it was so goofy with that silly speech at the end and the Politburo standing up applauding. In no freaking universe would the Politburo stand and applaud Rocky. No way. And I believe Sly got that because in Creed 2, we see the Drago has been exiled. His wife has left him. So I feel that by them walking out at the end in disgust, that was the bridging gap right there.
Absolutely. Thank God Sly had that coverage.
Yes. Yes, he did. He did. And I felt that was absolutely more accurate. Now, I don't know, maybe we're jumping ahead a little bit here, but in the cut, you know, it ends to Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
That's what it goes out to. I was neutral on that. I didn't think it had to go that way, and it didn't bother me that it went that way. I was okay with it. At first, I'm sitting there in the theater, and I see the look on Pataki's face, and you start to hear Eye of the Tiger, and I'm like, all right, that's kind of cool. I completely forgot about Eye of the Tiger, and it's just like Rocky's got the Eye of the Tiger, but then I thought, is that out of place? I don't know. Maybe it's just Sly's thing. But Sly said something in the documentary, Keep Punching, which actually I think is actually more fascinating than the movie, to be honest with you. He said that you can spend too much time there, and if you're not pulled out, you'll just get lost in a swamp of molasses trying to fix it. So I wonder, did he spend too much time? Or did he spend not enough? I don't know. I mean, and that's not a critique. What it is from the few people that have said negative things about it online that I've spoken with, I'm just listening to what they said. And I think, yeah, I see this or I see that. But I think overall, whatever negatives people had with it, I'm looking at it as they were a necessary evil to get the vision he initially intended. Because like you said, they had some of the shots covered, but he didn't have all the shots covered. Yeah. So whatever quick jarring cuts were made, I think they almost had to be because he had nothing to replace that with. He's a skilled filmmaker. He knows it was a jarring cut, but to achieve the ultimate overall victory he wanted, I think that's one of the things we just say, all right, what are you going to do?
Yeah. And to speak to Eye of the Tiger, Mike, I think in 1985, it probably wouldn't have worked, but now he's not making a movie for a 1985 audience. He's making a movie for 2021 audiences and beyond. So I think Eye of the Tiger completely works there because it's become such an iconic part of Rocky's sort of soundscape.
Yeah, I can't say anything bad about it. And that's not because I'm afraid Sly will hear this. I will say something you know, constructive criticism if I feel it. I was neutral on it. Mm-hmm. I was high on it in the moment. I was high on it when it first happened. And then when I watched it again the following night, Friday night, I was like, all right, I could take it or leave it here. It doesn't bother me, and I didn't think it was phenomenal. But in the moment, hearing Eye of the Tiger, where it's 35 years later, Rocky IV, I'm 53, sitting there with my wife, I remember where I was when it came out in November of 1985. I was sitting in a jam-packed theater alone, 17 years old, and no girls wanted to go on a date with me, and he was a god to me. Mm-hmm. Now he's my friend, and maybe that's why this Rocky IV director's cut has a far superior meaning to me. Maybe that's why I love it far better than the original. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So I know we're going to jump around a lot. That's just the nature of the discussions that we have, mainly due to my lack of preparation. But jumping to the beginning of the movie, Mike, sitting there in the theater on Thursday night, what were your feelings about sort of the whole reconstructed opening of the movie? We lose the iconic boxing glove shots. We get about 10 minutes worth of Rocky III there that builds to, Rocky and Apollo having the discussion in the gym there. What were your feelings on the night, and what are your feelings about it now?
I enjoyed it. I stand by that now. I enjoyed the rehash of Rocky III. I think it was Sly's just showing the dramatic effect of the friendship and how he feels he let Marianne Creed down. I feel the friendship. Why did Rocky not throw that towel? Because Rocky was at a low point after Mickey. And I think, yeah, whether it's a reminder, whatever it is, I just think it was Sly's vision. He wanted to tell a story from this angle, which was a very different way to tell a Rocky story. This was not a stereotypical Rocky in any way, shape, or form. This is very different. And I appreciated it. Again, did we need to have that? I don't know. I didn't miss Rocky and Apollo hitting each other, because I know it's on DVD and I can damn well go put it in if I want to see it again. One thing I was glad is that in the making of documentary, Sly told us exactly how the Rocky III fight, the third fight, went with Rocky and Apollo. And I love knowing what his vision for that fight was. That's one less question I have to ask him.
So we do get a very, very different start of Rocky III, and that continues because, as we all know, very controversial, Sly removed all the robot stuff, and there was a lot of discussion about how he was going to replace some of that from a storytelling standpoint. I thought maybe there could be alternate coverage where they did it with and without the robot. We now know that pretty much any scene that had the robot was completely removed from the movie.
Yeah.
So I think the only time that was really felt, Mike, and we're going to jump to the end of the movie again here,
yeah,
is when Rocky talks directly to his son. And that was unfortunately removed because you see the robot standing behind him there. I think we all know your feelings on the robot. I'm not sure if you want to address it one final time.
Again, I have been unfairly, gratuitously hateful towards the robot over time. And I don't, sometimes I say that for effect to get a laugh or whatever, but I don't hate the robot. I don't. As a matter of fact, November 2019, I had a Rocky gig with the robot. He was at a gig in Philadelphia and I interacted with him. I'm looking at a picture of it right now on my trophy shelf. I just think I'm just glad we have a dramatic version for those of us that want to do that. And to be honest with you, did not miss the kid at all. We had two scenes with the kid, and the one scene where Rocky, I think, Stallone ad libs. Well, you got to do things that everyone else is going to think ain't right for you, but you got to do it because it's right for you. I think that was a great scene, but I did not miss Rocky addressing his kid at the end. I forgot about it in the moment, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that peeling back of that character sort of helps inform part five and even Balboa a little bit more in terms of that strained relationship?
Yeah. Yeah. I think possibly. What I would be interested in, reading a short novelization. If Sly had to write from, he redid the entire thing. If he could rewrite a little book and say, if I wrote Rocky IV today, this is how I would write it from start to finish, where he doesn't have to rely on the lack of coverage from certain angles or whatever. In other words, he could just, whatever the vision would be, he would just write right through. So I don't know. I mean, it's that's something I would love to hear.
So I do know that as a super huge Rocky fan, there are a lot of scenes that we know about either through still photography from the set or novelizations or script fragments that we've seen. Were there any scenes that were reinserted that you were like, finally, I get to see this?
So, of course, the one that comes to mind is the boardroom scene where they strip Rocky of his title, which I don't know if it was all that clear that they stripped him of his title. They just told him he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But so that was good. I loved the scene, the emotional scene where I think that was in the book where he talks at Apollo's funeral. And it wasn't so much drawn out scenes as much as it was the minutia. And this is what made the movie for me. Yes, the Apollo Creed fight with Drago and Rocky's fight with Drago were superior in every damn way.
I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead. We'll get to the minutia next. Go ahead.
Okay. I think the other exciting thing for fans, I think, was just the additional Apollo stuff we got. And anytime you can see Carl Weathers and the charismatic Carl Weathers on screen, it's a good thing. And I think if anything, this new director's cut really, really served the Apollo character and set up his send off even more powerfully.
I agree. I found myself emotionally invested far more than I ever was in the Drago Creed fight. I got teared up in the theater. I got teared up just the other night watching it again. I never got teared up once ever for Rocky IV. Never. And here I am watching it again. Maybe, Craig, it's my relationship with Stallone now. Maybe it's the validation I have as a human of my life's work. But it all came to a head for me. And I don't know what to say other than that. It worked beautifully.
Mm-hmm. And again, you referenced how well it worked. And we have now 35 plus years removed from filming Rocky IV. Stallone has gained experience in life, in filmmaking, and it's not felt more in this movie than, like you referenced, the two boxing matches, the one between Apollo and Drago, which is, like you said, markedly better, and then the end fight. Do you want to talk about why those changes to the fights worked so well for you?
For me, it was the sound had a lot to do with it. The sound was not the ridiculous what they used in the original Rocky IV. They took shotgun blasts, bags of glass, chains, and baseball bats, and they that's how they edited the punch sound. The punches were far more realistic to me. Now, that doesn't sound like that's a big deal, right? But you don't realize how sound is affecting the visual key. So at the second Drago punches Apollo Creed, it's such an over-the-top sound. Any of us who have watched any boxing matches worth, you know, over any length of time, you know punches don't sound like that. Having said that, they were somewhat dramatized for the recut. But I think the sound just made it more realistic. The angles. We saw a lot of missed punches in Rocky IV, especially Rocky and Drago. Yes, they are really hitting each other, but they're also missed punches. But the camera picked up. And so if Rocky throws a missed punch, Drago's head goes back or vice versa. That ruins the magic of it, right? So and you're just like, oh, come on. You know, you can't sell a missed punch. Like, you know what I mean? Phantom punches. So Sly, as far as I could tell, removed all of the missed punches that were not supposed to be missed. So that was a big thing. But then he put some new angles in. He put some, I think, better whatever moments he had deleted from the fight, he reintroduced them. And for me, it just, I don't know, it just worked. It was a little more grittier, and it just, even though it still had an 80s feel to it, it did. One thing in particular, I knew I was in for a great fight. One of my biggest pet peeves is when Rocky's in the ring for the Drago fight and Duke removes his robe. Rocky flexes his chest muscles so ridiculously. I never liked that. I never thought Rocky would flex his muscles like that. That's a very egotistical, vain thing. I think that was more a Stallone choice that I think he realized was a bad choice, and he removed that. Because Rocky is not so much vain as he is. He's here for a reason to avenge the death of his friend, or make it right, I guess.
Right, right. So, Mike, one thing that I did notice in the Apollo Drago fight that I think bothers me, and maybe you'll change my opinion on this, but it seemed like the moments surrounding Rocky throwing in the towel were altered to a degree where it didn't seem like Rocky even had the opportunity. In this new cut, it feels like he doesn't have the chance to throw in the towel. And if they were going to stop the fight, they should have done it after the first round.
I would agree with that. I don't think I could convince you of that, because I kind of saw that too. I said to myself that they maybe deleted a little too much there. I think he was trying to choreograph it. The towel hits at the same time Apollo hits, but it already did that, I thought, in the original. And I don't understand that choice fully. What I would happily ask him, you know, if I get the opportunity, why that was so truncated. I don't know. I don't have a real good answer for that. And I'm not trying to make excuses. I think I'm just looking at it as, it was a necessary evil to achieve the goal he had originally intended.
Sure. Yeah, no. And I can appreciate that. It's probably the one aspect of this cut of the movie that's going to bother me when I go back and watch it in the future.
Yeah.
So talking about the stuff that was removed again, with the loss of the robot, unfortunately we lost a whole bunch of Burt Young stuff. And
yeah,
I do know we get some comedy from Burt Young in Russia, especially when he's falling around in the snow. Overall, how do you feel about Paulie, or for a better word, the lack of Paulie in this new director's cut?
So here's what people have to make up for themselves. If any of that stuff they feel was goofy, it was too goofy. If Paulie did anything that was just too slapstick, it was gone. And so I understand that. When you go back and look at Rocky I, Rocky II, there's no humor. Paulie is just a funny guy because he's awkward and strange, but it's not humor. You know, when Paulie says things like, I don't sweat you, or, you know, when he comes home drunk, or there's a funniness to him. Or like when the meat guy is standing behind and he hides behind the meat in the meat locker. Like you see him duck out of sight. It's his actions that are funny and strange. I think in Rocky IV, it was too in your face funny. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
See, Paulie, like, I think he would laugh at himself that he was falling over in the snow. He's got the cigar, and it is a nice place to die. Like, that was funny. That's something Paulie would say. And the earmuff thing, that was a great line. I enjoyed that. One thing I realized in this, that I saw Rocky maybe 100, 150 times, Rocky IV, I never realized Paulie had a Polaroid camera around his neck. He never used it. Why did he have a Polaroid camera? I don't understand that.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like Paulie's the type of guy to document a vacation and then sit at home and reminisce.
I'd like to know what that writing looked like in the script. Why did Paulie have a Polaroid camera? That is a burning question I have. But, you know, if I'm being honest, none of the big things are the things that blew me away as much as the minutia. And that's what I'm all about when it comes to Rocky. For instance, when Rocky leaves and we see Adrian in the window, you know, Paulie yells, come on, the meter's running. To me, when inside the house, we see Adrian beg Rocky not to leave and she's crying, which was very emotionally gripping. Mm-hmm. But you hear Sly was brilliant enough to put in very quietly, come on, the meter's running. like you hear that. And that to me made me so emotional. Really, really got to me, because for 35 years, we were on the other side of the window, Craig. We never got to see what was happening in the Balboa house between Rocky and Adrian. And Sly has now given us that. That to me was possibly the best moment of this movie. Very personal, very personal. But I loved it. Right before we got on to do this, I sat here and I kind of fast forward through some of the scenes, and I'm very emotional watching it. Another thing I liked was at the dinner table with Apollo, and, you know, Adrian's like, what in your life is worth risking this now for? When they're sitting around the table, I don't recall in Rocky IV, the original, opera music being played in the background.
Mm.
And I believe where Rocky tells Apollo, now this just was happenstance, because he had no idea he was going to do Rocky Balboa. You know, Adrian's got a great dinner, and of course, Apollo says, far be it from me to ever give up a great Italian dinner.
Yeah.
Then they're playing the Italian music, right? And that fits into Rocky Balboa. Just a whiff, a whisper, a hint, a slight breeze that Adrian liked opera music and she was a good cook, as we saw in Rocky V, which leads into Rocky Balboa. I thought that was another great segue. For me, this is what made the movie amazing. What do you think about those two?
You know what? That's pretty remarkable, Mike, because that's a connection I didn't make. So I do appreciate that scene a little bit more. I love all the character work in the Rocky movies. That's ultimately, at the end of the day, really, you know, what brings me to the Rocky movies is, you know, there's been plenty of boxing movies, and Rocky's not boxing, you know, they're not boxing movies like we've talked about in the past. But it's those character moments. Anytime you get Carl Weathers and Stallone, or Stallone and Talia Shire, you see some special stuff on screen. And, you know, I think all of that worked a lot in this new cut of the film. And I got to say that as drastically different as it was in points, it's still Rocky IV at the end of the day, right?
Yes, correct. Correct. And there's a great, you know, jingoism, USA, and all of that stuff. That's really great. But again, the two other things I think really changed the tone of the movie from being goofy to being serious. And again, these are just subtle things. We don't hear the chipmunks anymore when Paulie's right. We don't hear that. We're not quite sure what Paulie's listening to, but he's content roasting marshmallows. And we hear Conti's theme. Are you kidding? That makes it more dramatic to me. That makes it closer to a callback to Rocky I and Rocky II. Now, the other thing, and we didn't talk about this yet, and I'm sure you were going to bring it up. At the end, the speech is drastically changed where he talks, my friend said he couldn't change and he died. If I can change, people wouldn't be killed. Okay. And as he walks out of the ring, the Eye of the Tiger, here he taps gloves with Drago.
Yes.
And that to me is a very Rocky thing. Just like he went over to Apollo when he beat him. He helped Tommy Gunn up when he punched him into the bus. All of these things are Rocky-esque. Yes, we had a battle. I defeated you. That does not mean we cannot be civil towards each other. And my God, Craig, in the days we are living today, civility is needed more now than anything. And this is just a great reminder. If Rocky can do it, the rest of us can do it. And Drago looks at him with such a look of inspiration and respect. It's like, yeah, that's why we love this character, Rocky, so damn much.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And unfortunately, we're running up against the time hurdle here. I think we're going to have to start wrapping this up. But
okay.
Mike, do you have any sort of final thoughts on Rocky versus Drago, the ultimate director's cut today, November 16th, 2021?
At 10:18 a.m. East Coast time. I think we really hit all the real major high points. I'll just say this, just one last note for the fans. don't get upset at the director's cut. Just don't watch it. You see it once. If you're so offended by it, forget it exists. Just watch Rocky IV. I say we celebrate both of them. I will absolutely be celebrating Rocky IV, the original, and the director's cut. And I will find a balance to watch them back and forth every so often. Just enjoy. We got more Rocky. Just enjoy it.
No, absolutely. And that was sort of that Christmas Eve vibe that I got, was the fact that we were getting a brand new Rocky film. So, Mike, I always enjoy talking with you on Slycast. You add an element to Slycast that makes Slycast what it is. I'm so glad we were able to work out our timing issues and we're able to sit down and chat this movie. And make sure, everyone, to check out the Rocky Files and Mike's in-depth discussion about the premiere in Philadelphia. I can't wait to go listen to it myself or watch it myself. Mike, again, thank you so much for taking the time out, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Craig, I can't thank you enough. You're very welcome. Thank you. You're one of those guys I like having in my life all these years. You know, you're like the guy on the corner you buy the coffee from. I'm the main player in my own life, and you are like the background guy, and I run into, and you give me, like when the guy gives you the coffee or you go buy the morning paper, you give that happy smile in the background, and it sets your day off in a very good direction. And that's what you do for me when we get these catch up podcasts. Thank you.
Oh yeah. And again, it's been so great to sort of live those moments through all the stuff you shared on social media regarding your friendship. So, Mike, again, I couldn't be more joyful for you and what you're experiencing. Nobody deserves what you've accomplished more than you. I know, having read your book and having had discussions with you, how hard you work to get where you are.
Thanks, Craig. And you know, as I stole from Sylvester Stallone, keep punching.
Okay, so those conversations with Mike are always entertaining and enlightening. Just such a blast always talking with him. So we got a letter or an email from Rocky Winner, and he says, "Hey all, saw it Thursday night in the theater and just watched it again tonight. Was surprised to see how it starts with a nice recap of three. Sound edited so you really hear the punches without the crowd, especially first fight. Interesting segue to Apollo in his pool. Would have liked to see a quick edit of the iconic third fight, maybe just them hitting each other, and then pause to Neiman painting, then to show time has passed from 3 to 4, since Rocky Jr. filming Robot Paulie's B-Day was cut out. A segue of photos of Drago, Sports Illustrated Drago cover, to then Apollo in the pool. Like the outdoor conversation of Apollo at Rocky's house. Really liked the extra fight footage of Apollo versus Drago. Definitely liked seeing Paulie at Apollo's funeral as well as Marianne. Sylvia Meals got more edit time overall, which was great, with her son and daughter. What happened to them in the Creed series? Felicia Rashad is a very good actress, but not to play Marianne for the Creed series. Enjoyed the entire boxing commission scene. Liked the explanation of no sparring partners and extra training footage. Extra Drago Rocky fight footage and sound was excellent. Liked overall how Drago had more lines. Besides adding more Apollo Drago fight, I really, really loved the ending of Rocky going over to Drago and hitting, acknowledging him with his glove, plus hearing Eye of the Tiger. Then going out of the ring with Adrian and Duke. Didn't see Paulie though, liked the shot of Paulie smiling on the ring apron after he wins. Only would have added archive footage from 5 of Mickey yelling Rocky to Rocky, "Get up, you son of a bitch," or "He's no machine, I didn't hear no bell," etc., for one of Rocky's knockdowns, maybe even Apollo yelling "Get up." Overall, I really liked it. Best always, Rocky Winner. Thank you for that, Rocky Winner. Always appreciate listener comments. Okay, and our Rocky vs. Drago, the Ultimate Director's Cut discussion continues. And I am super happy to bring on to the show a guest I always enjoy having and who has a unique perspective in relation to this movie, and that is Sean, the host of the I Must Break This podcast. Sean, welcome.
Hey, how's it going, man? This is pretty much inevitable, wasn't it? I mean, when Creed 2 came out, it was pretty much a given that our shows were going to join forces. And then as soon as Sly was kind of hinting and that he was going to be tinkering with it and releasing this thing, it was kind of like, yeah, this discussion is inevitable. It's going to be happening. So
yeah. Well, the interesting thing about it is, I've always, you know, when he announced this project, I thought that his initial, you know, sort of reason to revisit this movie was to, I think he saw Creed 2, and I know that, you know, there's been speculation that he wasn't happy with Creed 2. We won't get into that. But I've often thought, if, you know, this new director's cut was sort of an attempt to bring part 4 more in line with Creed 2 and sort of give it that weight that Creed 2 sort of retroactively gave it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, the thing that I've always loved and appreciated about the Creed movies is that, okay, if you look at the entire Rocky franchise, okay, I think everybody can agree that the fourth movie is, I mean, it's my favorite for, you know, for a variety of reasons, but I think everybody can agree that the fourth one is the one that is the most, I guess, absurd, the most cartoonish, the most comic bookish, however you want to refer to it. And that's what I've always loved and appreciated so much about the Creed films, is that they're kind of this thread, or this tether, if you will, to where they are linking and acknowledging the most ridiculous film in the entire franchise. And, you know, I mean, if we see this all the time. If you look at, say, for example, the Halloween franchise or the Halloween movies, you know, how many times has that been rebooted to where they will completely excise and forget about various installments within that canon? However, you gotta appreciate, you gotta respect the fact that Stallone, yeah, there's been some missteps. Okay. You know, 5 was a misstep, if you will, but you gotta just appreciate the fact that, I mean, he has kept it going and he doesn't discard any of the remnants from any of the films. I mean, I guess this film did discard a bit, but it still kind of has that, that cartoonish quality to it that I think we all love about 4.
Yeah, I think, you know, my overall impression of this new Ultimate Director's Cut, which I've watched twice, sandwiched in between watching the theatrical again to see if I could, you know, hopefully catch as many differences as I could. My biggest takeaway, Sean, was it's almost like the theatrical release of Rocky IV that we've all known and loved for the past 36 years was a movie that was made in 1984/1985. And it seemed to me like this new Ultimate Director's Cut tried to take the 1985 out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's an excellent way of putting it. I mean, obviously the robot is like the ultimate symbol of 80s excess and everything. And I think you're exactly right. I think Stallone was of the mindset where he was like, okay, you know, the Creed movies, because he did Rocky Balboa and he did the Creed movies, which kind of helped ground the series once again. And I think Stallone's mindset was, well, you know what? I want to ground Rocky IV as much as I possibly can. But in the end, I mean, and I know we'll be getting into, you know, what we liked and maybe what we didn't like, but that's what I don't understand is, you're exactly right. I think he was trying to ground this film and take the 1985 out of it. However, he still kept in the No Easy Way Out montage, where Stallone is driving around. And to me, I mean, the robot is ridiculous, sure, but that was one sequence that I was almost certain that he was maybe not going to take out completely, but that he was going to retool and pull a complete 180 on. But for the most part, that sequence remains intact. So it was kind of like, Stallone, what are you doing exactly here? You know?
Yeah. Well, for a guy who's known for his montages, I think a lot of fans, that would have been a bridge too far. I think the biggest difference in that montage was he cut to black and white for all of the older footage, even the, him thinking back to the Apollo and Drago fight, whereas in the theatrical cut, that's all in color.
True. Yeah. I mean, you know, but to be perfectly honest, even looking at the theatrical cut, I've never been the biggest fan of that entire sequence, just because, I mean, that sequence right there feels completely like filler. Like we don't need clips from the previous 3 movies. And I honestly think here's what I think they should have done in that scene. I mean, if I was going to be in the cutting room with Mr. Stallone, what I would have done in that scene is, instead of showing clips of he and Adrian and Mickey and everything like that from Rocky 1, 2, and 3, I think he should, if he was going to keep that montage intact, he should have spliced in footage and sequences showcasing he and Apollo's friendship and relationship.
Yeah, no, I totally understand where you're going. And I think one of the biggest things that he attempted to do in this movie, and a lot of the chatter I'm seeing, you know, on the internet about this, is how much additional Apollo stuff we were given here and how it really shapes out the Apollo character a bit more.
Yeah, no, I agree. The one thing that, I mean, one of the chatter that I was reading on online was how the training montages are sacrosanct, mm-hmm. and that you can't change those. I'm sorry. Those are just those. Those are ingrained. So I think Sly was wise to leave those in. However, I was so disappointed in the opening 10 minutes of mm-hmm. the film. I mean, I will just say right now, let me back up a bit, but Rocky IV was actually my gateway into the Rocky series. It was the first movie that I ever saw. And outside of the final fight at the end, my favorite moment of the entire movie was the opening shot of those rotating mm-hmm. boxing gloves.
The gloves, yeah.
And how they clash. And it's edited so beautifully if you watch it. But as soon as they clash and they explode, it cuts right to Clubber Lang screaming. Mm-hmm. And that is just such a beautiful opening. And for Sly to excise that completely and instead give us 10 minutes of Rocky III, it was like, you know, okay, this is filler, in my opinion. This is absolute filler.
It was definitely a little off-putting, and it put me off balance a little bit because it felt like you got dropped into a movie that didn't really have a proper sort of start. And again, I think those two gloves go back to sort of removing the 1985 from it. I think, you know, the Cold War aspect of the Rocky IV theatrical wasn't really evident in this one. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about it and how it affected Drago and Ludmilla characters, but I think that was all part of just stripping away the 1985-ness, and for the worse, believe me. I mean, I'm 100% on board with you that I think those gloves are iconic and were missed.
No, I agree. I mean, and there were some aspects that I was glad to see, that I was glad to see excised. I mean, the robot, yeah, it's cute and it's fun for the time, but it really doesn't belong in the Rocky universe. So I understood that he clipped that. There was also a silly, you know, can we just say real quick, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but Sly has never been one who's really been very good at writing comedy, I will say. And, you know, there was a conversation between Rocky and Apollo in the locker room before Apollo's fight where Apollo says, you know, I feel like I could eat nails. And then Stallone said, you remember, and Rocky says, oh, snails. And they're like, no, nails. And it's just it's goofy. And so he was wise to cut that as well. But then he made some other decisions where it was kind of like, you know, it was a real head scratcher. It kind of reminded me, I had a friend I remember in middle school who was real big into building like model cars and model airplanes. And what he would do after he would build it is he would take them apart, and then he would like the inside, after he put them together, he'd take them apart, and then he would, like, for example, paint the inside of the wheel red. Yeah. For no reason at all, you know what I mean? Or he would take it apart and he would suddenly paint the engine a neon color. And it was like, dude, like, what is the purpose of this here? Like, that doesn't lend anything to the overall exterior of the model, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. The other thing I was going to mention, since you sort of went down the comedy road, is by removing the robot completely from the movie, the character of Paulie was really reduced, and really we get our, like, you know, he doesn't really pop up in the movie now until they arrive in Russia. And there's a bit of comedy there where he's falling over in the snow, and it just felt tonally out of place.
It really did. I will admit though, I did see it in the theater, and that scene still got laughs, which I was kind of like, huh? Like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, and I think the biggest takeaway from losing the robot was it necessitated basically removing a lot of scenes with his son. So you basically, the one major scene you get with Rocky and his son is the scene in the son's bedroom right before he's getting ready to go to Russia. And he sort of talks about fear and things like that. But you lose the son watching the boxing match back yep. home in America, and then also Rocky telling his son he loves him, which I guess kind of plays into setting up the relationship in part five, and then Rocky Balboa, you know, by losing that, you sort of, I guess, reinforce the fact that their relationship was never really that great. So I guess you can make an argument for, you know, the removal of that scene.
You could. But I mean, you know, I was talking about this last night with a buddy. I will say, and I've seen the original Rocky IV, you know, countless of times, but I will say one of the most beautiful scenes in that film outside of the clashing gloves as well is the end where his mm-hmm. son is watching the fight and how he tells his son that I love him. And then you see his son, you know, mouth back to the TV, I love you, Dad. And it is absolutely, I mean, it worked back when I first saw this film back in 1990. And to this day, it's extremely touching. And the only reason I can think of why Sly cut that was because in the background was yep. the robot. So,
exactly.
And it was kind of like in this day and age, Craig, it's like, look, CGI yep. is making movies, so I don't understand why they couldn't have kept that scene, but kind of digitally erased or repurposed the camera frame, if you will,
yeah.
in some kind of way. But yeah, it was little things like that. And I mean, if we're going to go down that rabbit hole of camera angles, there is a scene. It's right when Adrian comes home and she's being hounded by reporters after Rocky makes the announcement or whatever. There is a scene. It's an additional camera angle that Sly put in, but the camera is clearly unfocused
yeah.
and out of focus. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
Yeah. There were a couple of moments where you could tell where the, you know, the unused footage was, you know, the color grading wasn't exactly in line. And it, you know, I'd be curious to know how much money Sly really had to work with here, because this is really sort of a recut and not a, I guess, a true restoration, if you will. But I do want to talk about some of the editing choices Sly made, because it seems like for the Apollo Drago fight, some of that was sort of re-edited a little bit. And it seems like Sly maybe brought, you know, his, you know, three decades plus of experience to re-editing that fight. Do you have any thoughts on that as sort of a Drago guy?
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up, Greg. Yeah. Because that's what I really wanted to talk about was, okay, so we're talking about some of the inclusions and edits that maybe we didn't like. However, I will say I loved the Apollo and Drago fight. Because what it did is, I mean, you know, the additional scenes, you know, we can say as a lot of them felt like B-roll footage, I will say. But what they did is they allowed the characters to breathe a little bit more and they gave us more to them. What I really, really appreciated about the Drago Apollo fight is how it really allows the character of Drago to really breathe. Because if you notice how it was edited, this was one of the big differences I noticed. But if you notice how it was edited, Apollo, he gets in way more hits in that first round
mm-hmm.
and Drago is just kind of playing with him and he's just kind of toying with him. And then what I loved about it is you can see his handler and his coach, as soon as they scream attack, that is when Drago is unleashed. And I think that's what Stallone really wanted to do with this cut, is he really wanted to, especially with the character of Drago, he really wanted to lean more heavily into the whole idea that Drago was a trained dog, if
yeah.
you will. You know, mm-hmm. he was a soldier who was trained. And I never really viewed, I'll say this right now, I never really viewed in the original cut Drago to be entirely evil. I mean, he's a soldier. He's a puppet of his government, pretty much being told what, you know, what to do. But that's what, in this cut, I think that's what Sly really, really wanted to lean into. And I think that's very evident in that first fight about how Drago, he doesn't even really throw a punch until, you know, until his coach does. But that was a really cool edit there where his coach just says attack. And as mm-hmm. soon as he does that, it's game over. And I loved that aspect about it.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprising change for me in that fight is the sequence of events leading up to Rocky not throwing in the towel. In this version, it doesn't even seem like he had an opportunity to, because everything happened so fast. And it's weird because it almost kind of lets Rocky off the hook. And I don't know. I'm curious to get everyone's feedback on this. I have a couple of more discussions scheduled. And to me, it just seemed like there wasn't enough time. So it doesn't seem like anybody could have held it over Rocky's head that he didn't stop the fight. If anything, they should have stopped it right after that first round.
Oh, easily, easily. Did you by chance watch the Q&A with Sly? That, I mean, it aired before the film played on Thursday night, but I think you could find it on YouTube. Have you watched that yet?
I have not.
Okay. So Sly makes some comments. They asked him, they said, so looking back upon the series, they asked him, you know, how do you feel about killing off Apollo? And he said, you know, I look back upon it and I wished I hadn't done it, because then by doing that, you know, in Rocky III, he kills Mickey. And then in Rocky IV, he kills Apollo. So at this point, the character of Rocky has no one. He doesn't have any mentors.
Yeah.
And so he says, as he looks back upon it, he almost wishes that maybe he didn't kill Apollo, that maybe he made him paralyzed, or maybe he made him mentally impaired. And I got to be honest, Craig, when he said that, I was thinking about it and I was like, man, like if he made where he obviously didn't kill Apollo, and then obviously we didn't get the funeral scene, but you can imagine that would have added, I think, some real emotional weight if Apollo is mentally impaired, you know, but still there, he's still a presence in the series.
Yeah. But you know, I can see both sides of that argument. And for me, I think you need the death to justify him sort of giving up the title and going to Russia and training in isolation. Yeah, that I'm sure that we could have a whole episode discussion on, you know, sort of a wheelchair bound Apollo. And I've been a huge champion of Carl Weathers and the work he's done in this series. So believe me, I would love the alternate universe where we had, you know, a Rocky V, let's say, with a wheelchair bound, slightly impaired Apollo. So I do want to get into this with you, Sean, because I think this is one of the more controversial aspects of this new cut. And that's sort of the amplification, if you will, of Drago's voice and a lot more of Drago talking. And basically the almost removal of the Lumilla character. And you could speculate that, you know, Sly's relationship with Brigitte Nielsen could have impacted that. I'm not going to, you know, get into that, but in the theatrical cut, Lumilla is the voice of the Russians. Mm-hmm. And I think she turns in a great couple of bits of dialogue in that cut.
She's great. Yeah, she's great.
And in this one, it seems like Dolph was given, or Drago was given, more of a voice. Now, I know that as a Dolph guy, I'm sure you'd love seeing it, but what was your initial reaction to all of that?
I had a couple reactions, actually. I mean, I will say that because there's not a heck of a lot of additional dialogue with Drago, but what there is, you can really, really see how young and how much of a novice actor Dolph was in that film. I mean, I noticed that, especially with those additional scenes. Just, I mean, he was fresh from Sweden. You know what I mean? He hadn't acted in anything prior to that. So you can see just how young he was and how, let's face it, for lack of better terms, he was not an accomplished actor yet. And so I kind of think that might have been one of the reasons why Sly cut a lot of his dialogue and scenes in the first one. I also think the removal of Brigitte Nielsen and her role was done because, if you think about it, they gave much more to Drago's handler. Mm-hmm. in this film. Okay. They had much more scenes of him, maybe not so much of him speaking, but more scenes where the camera is really focusing on his face. And I think, again, that was Sly's intent, where he really wanted to play up the whole characteristic, if you will, of Drago, to where he is a puppet and a tool of his government, and he is being trained,
right,
to, you know, to obey, basically. And there's so many scenes. I didn't watch it all, but I did watch some of that documentary. Mm-hmm. And that's on YouTube, and Sly was talking about this, actually. And there is a scene right after the fatality with Apollo Creed, where Drago is speaking or whatever, and he says his name. He says Drago.
Yeah.
Drago. As soon as he does it, the camera goes right to the handler, and the handler's head turns. And that was very, very important to Sly. He really kind of wanted to establish maybe not so much a father-son relationship there,
right,
but a trained dog, if you will. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the only, another change that was made that I think sort of sets up and serves Creed 2 a little better is the Russian premiere at the end of this cut, instead of standing up and applauding, he stands up and walks out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he stands up and walks out. And then if you notice, the camera then focuses on, once again, the handler completely defeated.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of surprising a little bit, you know, that, you know, Sly in, you know, a couple of minor, you know, ways sort of amplified that connection to Creed 2. I know we had limited time today, Sean, so is there sort of any overall final thought you have about this new Ultimate Director's Cut that we waited well over a year for?
Well, you know, I mean, one thing about the original that I've never been a huge fan of, and I did like how Sly kind of tightened it up a bit, are both with regard to in the final fight. I love how in this version, Dolph's final line to Rocky, where he says "to the end," is much more clear in this version than in the original cut. And I also, you know, what's interesting is if you watch the original cut, okay, Rocky goes off to Russia, you know, to battle Drago. Purely, it's not so much to be the ambassador to America, but it's to avenge his best friend. And suddenly at the end, when after he wins the fight, he gives this speech, which is pretty much pro-America. But, you know, if you can change, we can change. We can all come together and everything. And it's nice. But he never, in the original cut, he never mentions Apollo. You know what I mean? And so I liked how in this version it does end where he does have his kind of America speech. But he does say, you know, this one's for Apollo. Apollo was my friend, which makes sense. You know, and I appreciated that about this one.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, sort of quick decision moment. 5 years from now, you're running the Rocky series and you get to part four. Which one are you putting on?
I'm going to put on the original, man. I'm going to, you know, and I can't believe I'm saying that because, you know, the original Rocky IV is the shortest of the entire series. But I think that's almost to its benefit because it is one review I read stated something that I thought was so apt for this. They said, it may not be your favorite of the series, but if it is on TV, you're not leaving. You know what I mean? You are sitting and you are watching this entire film. And granted, I wish that the original cut had gave the characters more time to breathe and there was a little bit more meat and fat to it. Obviously, of course. But in the end, you know, those clashing gloves at the very beginning just set the tone for what the film is. And I feel like in this alternate cut, if you're going to take that out and you're going to put in 10 minutes of Rocky III at the beginning, you're really setting up for a bit of a letdown, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the only super positive thing about this new cut is, of course, it's a new Rocky movie to watch and enjoy. But there are plenty of people out there who have the time and the technology to make these sort of ultimate cuts of movies or hybrid cuts. So I wouldn't be surprised if down the road, a couple months from now, we see a fan edit where they take a lot of the new stuff that was inserted into this director's cut and sort of integrate it into the theatrical cut. And we get like a super version of Rocky IV.
How about you, man? I mean, you asked me, but I'm curious. You're the Stallone guy, the Rocky guy. If you had to prefer one, which one would you go with?
As of today, I'm picking up the theatrical cut. A lot of the reasons you gave are the same for me. I think especially if you're running the series from the first one all the way up through Creed 2, I just think that part four, the theatrical version just works better there. And like I said, it almost seems like he designed, you know, this ultimate director's cut to sort of be a standalone viewing experience. Cause I'd imagine the mindset was that a lot of people probably haven't watched, you know, the Rocky movies in sequence in a long time. So there were probably people going into the theater on Thursday night who hadn't watched 2 and 3 in, you know, maybe 10 or 15 years or something. So it almost seems like this ultimate director's cut was sort of modeled as like, hey, you can watch this without really, you know, getting too immersed in the Rocky lore. I do commend Sly for doing this. I'm glad he was able to do it. I'm glad MGM gave him the opportunity to do it. But I really wish that we were going to get a proper sort of a part five reconstruction, but that's a discussion for another day. Sean, your podcast is I Must Break This podcast, which is a podcast devoted to the work and career of Dolph Lundgren. And it can be, if you're listening to this show on the Last of the Action Heroes Network, you can also hear Sean's show in this same feed. So hopefully you've checked it out. Sean, do you want to sort of give people a quick sort of update or rundown of the show?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you know, let's face it. I think Dolph Lundgren is one of the original action heroes, right up there with Sly and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so, yeah, over at my podcast, we have been going through the career of Mr. Dolph Lundgren, obviously starting with Rocky IV. And currently we are looking at his efforts in the years 2013 and 2014. So a lot of cool stuff in there. And we, I'm very fortunate, been able to speak with quite a few of the individuals who have made these films, from directors to screenwriters to actors and stunt performers. So even if you're not the biggest fan of Lundgren, I think there's something in there that everyone can enjoy, especially looking at low budget action filmmaking. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It seems like the DTV action genre is going to be something that's talked about in years to come, because it's definitely a sort of a genre unto itself. And one thing I do want to say is, I'm sure at some point we're going to have a discussion about Expendables 4 and sort of Dolph's new look.
It's wild. I don't know what capacity we're going to be seeing Dolph and Stallone. I'm kind of wondering if these two characters perish, if you will, which is the big reason why Statham is given the lead. But and if they do, I've said it before, I don't really have too much of a problem if they do perish and this is the last we see of them. I'm just hoping for a glorious death.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If that happens, that'll be cool.
Yeah, that's all we can hope for. So, Sean, this was great. I'm so glad we had an opportunity to talk your feelings and thoughts on Rocky versus Drago, the ultimate director's cut. And hopefully we chat again sooner than later.
Yeah, thanks, man.
So there was my chat with Sean from the I Must Break This podcast. And we mentioned ultimate fan cuts and things like that. And not soon after recording with Sean, I got a email from a previous guest of the show and Rocky fan, Steve Ricardo, who, if you remember way back on the Rocky V directors or work print episode, we talked about the Rocky V 80s remix. So here's some notes from Steve, and he says, "Hi guys, it's Steve Ricardo, and I'm chiming in with my thoughts on the new cut of my favorite movie of all time, Rocky IV. Firstly, a big thank you to Sly for releasing this, and for those of us who haven't seen it, basically shooting the same movie twice. I can't even put into words how great it was to see this in theaters for the fourth time, this time with my dad, with entirely new scenes during arguably the best time in Sly's career. It's like seeing some of the dreams I've had of the film over the years, but now in real life, for everyone else to see. Completely surreal. Now on to my thoughts on the cut of the film itself. Without getting, without geeking out over the small details, like the slight changes in the sound effects, aspect ratio, and color timing, otherwise this email will become a dissertation, the main takeaway is that, in my opinion, Sly has accomplished what he wanted to do, make Rocky IV fit tonally along with the rest of the franchise. By having more scenes with Apollo, Adrian, and a great speech from Duke, along with toning down Drago's larger-than-life comic book villain showcase, and by giving Apollo a more dignified ending with a stronger fighting chance, it not only makes it more believable that Rocky stands a chance, but it also diminishes the cheese factor that the film always got its rep for. However, like many fans of the original version, I always welcomed and embraced the tone, style, and pacing of the film, and loved it for what it was. This is not to say I didn't like this new cut. I still enjoyed it immensely and was delighted to see that basically Sly wasn't even sure where to go with the film when he was making it and decided to shoot extra footage just in case. Very smart move as a screenwriter and director. I think the highlight for me may be Rocky's new speech at Apollo's funeral. Definitely fits more, as even in the theatrical cut, I always thought Rocky should have been a bit more emotional. Like the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2, Sly used alternate takes of the same scenes with different line readings from the actors as a way to make the film feel fresh in this version. I'll have to rewatch this many more times before I can say which takes are better, but for now, the theatrical is so ingrained in my head that I can hear the dialogue spoken, that I can't hear the dialogue spoken any other way. I didn't like how both Pauly and Ludmilla are both reduced to extended cameos. Sly's short-lived marriage to Brigitte Nielsen either left a bad taste in his mouth, so he was a little generous with the editing scissors, or maybe since Dolph says a lot more of those lines now, it simply works better this way. I also noticed that a lot of advertisements were cut out, the catfish ad on Apollo's TV when he's in the pool, the Hugo Boss sweaters not being visible anymore, the Chipmunks Christmas song, etc. If you guys remember when I discussed the fan edit of Rocky V here on the podcast some time ago, along with my love for fan editing, then you probably know what I plan to do. I just got to do what I got to do. I've already seen quite a few people on various social media platforms say that they plan on doing a fan edit of Rocky IV themselves. It'll be interesting to see which direction they choose to go. As for me, without putting up an entire laundry list, my basic intention is this. Keep the over-the-top style, tone, and pacing the theatrical cut has, which yes means the robot stays, keep the theatrical version's beginning and end, and add in the dramatic scenes along with the new Apollo Drago fight and mix of both versions of the Rocky Drago fight, so that we essentially have the same movie we all remember but with a bit more weight and runtime added to it, which if I had to guess is all the fans really wanted. Anyway, I've rambled on long enough. Time to dust off the old editor's chair and get busy. I know what I got to do, and then and I'll do it. Hope you're all doing well, guys. As Sly likes to say, keep punching, Steve. Steve, thank you for that, and I'm so glad that there are many people out there, yourself included, who are planning to do something with all this extra footage we've gotten. And our Rocky versus Drago Ultimate Director's Cut episode continues. And here's another guest that I knew was going to come on the show to talk about this movie because he's a staple on the Slycast at this point. And that is Doug from the Rocky Minute. Doug, welcome.
Craig, thanks for having me, man. I'm thrilled to be here with you talking as always. It's been a while. We haven't done a recording in a while. So
yeah,
back on mic with you.
Yeah. No, it's funny. When I was sitting down with my Kunda, I was like, I think the last time we talked on a podcast together was way back when me, you, and Ryan did Daylight. So, Yeah, it's been a long time. A lot has happened in terms of like Rocky Minute and Slycast, and a lot in the past, what, year and a half or whatever. You know, we sort of got this Last of the Action Heroes network going on, which Slycast is on. Mm-hmm. And Rocky Minute is going to be making, within the next couple months, its long-awaited season 3 debut. Do you want to just sort of remind anybody who's listening what you guys do on Rocky Minute and what they can expect from season 3?
Yeah. Rocky Minute, what we do is we go through the Rocky movies and we pick one movie, 1 minute of the movie at a time, and we discuss that minute in chronological order. We finished Rocky 1, which was 118 episodes. We finished Rocky 2, which was 117 or 18 episodes. And we're getting ready to start season 3. And I know it's been a while. We started recording season 3 so long ago. It was before the pandemic and everything.
Well, just to give you a point of reference, I think as of this recording, maybe within a day or two, either way, we'll be in our house 2 years. Yeah. And we recorded my Rocky 3 minutes, not to break the wall here or anything or the illusion for people, but we recorded my Rocky 3 minutes with you guys when we were still back in our apartment.
Yeah.
And I think we did early minutes. I did the Pauly pinball scene,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, on top of the pandemic, you know, I was going through a divorce, so that sidelined everything for the most part. So, we're back soon, really soon. You said a couple months, but I'm looking at a couple of weeks in the future that we're going to start releasing minutes for Rocky for season 3 of Rocky Minute.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, well,
you also mentioned the network.
Yeah,
I've recorded 3 separate introductions because the old network that I was on, I recorded an introduction, you know, naming that network. And then when me and you and Ryan, we started the Sylvester Stallone fan podcast network.
Yeah.
When it was just us going the distance in the Slycast. And then then I recorded an intro for that. And then now we're on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network. So I had to record a brand new intro. Actually, my fiance did the recording for that one. So,
cool.
So you need a fresh voice.
Oh, nice. And one note for the listeners here, you don't have to go anywhere else to find season one and season two of Rocky Minute. Doug, over the course of the past year or two, has been uploading the Rocky Minute episodes in clusters. So you can find all that here on the network if you look. I know we're in the process of sort of revamping the website, so it's a little bit easier to find things because right now it's sort of like you just have to go through a timeline, which I know makes it a little challenging. But rest assured, all those episodes are there. Doug, before we get into it, mm-hmm. I have to ask you, have you had discussions about how you're going to handle Rocky IV now?
My intentions, I didn't talk to Jay, my co-host, about it yet. But we're going to, I want to cover the original. Okay. Maybe we'll do after the season is over. We'll do like a one-off on the director's cut, but when we do minute by minute, we're going to go through the original as it was released.
Well, how about I sort of put this on the table for you. What if you do Rocky IV theatrical and then go on to V and Balboa, and then whether or not you guys decide to do the Creed movies and then do Rocky versus Drago?
Okay. In a minute by minute.
Yeah.
Go back and okay. Yeah. You know what? That would be good because we can actually get like, you know, in our format, like really get to the intricacies of the, you know, the differences. So,
yeah, well, that's another thing about me. It's funny. You saw it in the theater and we'll talk about that, but I watched it here at home and it was weird. So on Friday, when it sort of hit all the streaming, you know, platforms for rental or purchase, it was really hard to find for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because you would see like it would say Rocky IV. And then other ones would say Rocky versus Drago, the ultimate director's cut. And then the running time threw me off because it was like 100 or an hour, 33 minutes. And I'm like, well, I thought Sly added 42 minutes of unseen footage to this. So I was glad when I was able to finally, I rented it on YouTube. But man, they did not make it easy. And I know there are a lot of our international listeners are still do not have the ability to even legally rent it. So hopefully that's sorted out soon. But yeah, I mean, I think you made a good point that there's a lot of meat there for you guys to get into when you if and when you do devote a minute by minute to it. And I think that format would really sort of speak to the, you know, the gravity of some of those changes.
Yeah, I'm glad you kind of suggested that, because now that I'm thinking about it, even the scenes that are the same are different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They use different takes.
Yeah.
Of certain, you know, scenes. So,
yeah.
There'd be a lot to go through. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And before we get into the movie itself, I know, like I said, I watched it here at home, but you had the opportunity to go to the theater and watch it with an audience. I don't know how big that audience was, but, do you want to talk a little bit about the theatrical experience and the presentation? And I believe there was that 20-minute, was it a 20-minute Q&A with Sly at the end?
Yeah, I think it was closer to 30 minutes. It was at the beginning. It was before the
okay.
Yeah, before the opening of the film.
So did it get into spoiler territory, or like how did that work? Or was it just more of a high level sort of?
Yeah, it was more about the Sly's mindset during mm-hmm. during the recutting of it. I forgot the guy's name.
The guy that directed like Reach Me, John Hertzfeld, or
no.
Oh, the guy that hosted it. Yeah,
the guy that was like interviewing.
He's like an AMC guy, isn't he?
Yeah. Exactly. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, somebody's yelling at their
speaker. Yeah, I was actually going to write
right
it
now.
We're going to write it down, and I didn't. I'm like, I'll remember it, but yeah. I mean, he got a lot into Sly's beginning with Rocky, coming up with the concept and writing it and selling it to the studio.
So a lot of stuff we've heard before.
It's the story that we've heard time and time again. And then he got a little bit into the behind the scenes of cutting up the Rocky IV, and Sly once again brought up the stupid robot, as he called it, and you know, he was happy to excise that from the from the movie. But I mean, the crowd itself, it was all Rocky fans. People were wearing Rocky shirts. There's one guy dressed in the yellow and the gold and black robe.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like he really really went all out. But it was a good theater going experience. Just surrounded by Rocky fans, man. People were cheering in certain scenes. They were laughing at Paulie's, you know, goofball moments. It was a good you know, I saw Rocky IV in the theater when I was 1985. I was 8 years old, mm-hmm. 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing it in the theaters, but I don't remember any kind of crowd interaction, you know, or anything like that. But it was a good experience.
Yeah. So I know I watched it at home here on our 65 inch or 70 inch TV, whatever we have. I was curious if on the big movie screen with the sound system that movie theaters have, if some of those reinserted scenes were as noticeable. I know I noticed it a little bit, like you could tell the color grading was a little bit different. Was that as noticeable or more noticeable?
I was going to say it's some of the inserted scenes were a little bit more grainy. Mm-hmm. It seemed like, it was noticeable to me. It didn't take me out of the movie at all, but same. You know, right at that point I was like, oh, you know, obviously he inserted a scene here.
Yeah. It was a good trigger point for me. I was like, oh, it helped me track things a little bit better.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So I know I asked Mike about this and I talked with this about Sean, but I think it's important to sort of hit on it again. And I think our listeners will forgive us for this, but I want to sort of get your take on the sort of rejiggered opening of this movie. Mm-hmm. It's markedly different. I mean, you basically get almost 10 minutes worth of Rocky III footage. We lose the iconic gloves. Mm-hmm. You know, approaching each other, leading to the explosion. And then we get more of the traditional Rocky scroll, which I know some people said they really appreciated seeing. What was your take on that?
I don't know why he went so deep into Rocky III. Like all the movies show just the last couple of minutes of it, but they pretty much show like the main key points throughout the entire film, Rocky III. And then the scroll with no music kind of jarred me a little bit. And then it cuts to right to Apollo in his pool. And I thought to myself, I didn't want to keep tearing it apart because the one that I've seen 1,000 times, you know, starts at the end of Rocky III and it goes right into, Rocky coming home from the fight with Apollo. And you know, it was jarring to me and I thought like, why? But then I had to make myself settle down and say, look, this is Sly's vision. I have to view this as a brand new movie that I've never seen before and stop like immediately off the bat. I'm starting to pick it apart. And I'm like, stop, Doug. Just
there'll be time for that later.
Yeah. Yeah. When I talk to Craig. I wasn't, today I watched it again on Amazon. For the second time. And I just let myself kind of live in the movie and I was able to ingest it a little bit better today.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think overall, you know, for me, there were probably two main elements of the movie that really, really were strengthened. I would say overall, Apollo in general, mm-hmm. you know, anytime Carl Weather gets more screen time in a Rocky movie, I'm all for it. And I think it made Apollo's motivations a little bit clearer and it illustrated really what aging athletes go through and that mindset. And then also just how Sly reapproached editing the fights. Mm-hmm. He'd had 35 or 40 years worth of experience to draw from on how to make those fights look better. Kunda sort of, you know, referenced, you don't see nearly as many of those missed punches anymore.
Right.
And it works. So, if not those two, what were some, you know, highlights for you in this new cut of the movie?
Definitely Apollo. I agree with you there, man. He really, his character just went to another level for me, because like you really felt, you felt his pain, I guess you can say. You felt his pain of being retired and giving up the only thing he's ever known, you know. I mean, we got a taste of it in the original theatrical cut, but this, I mean, it was really driven home, I think. And that, like, I've always loved his warrior speech that he gives to Rocky when they're watching the film of their second fight. And I don't know, like, I felt, you know what it is? And I know, I'll tell you exactly what it is. It was the underscoring of Bill Conti's music.
Yeah, that, dropping it into that scene, it added an emotional thread to it. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, not to get you off track, because I know this is your sort of what you liked and what worked for you. But I'd equate it to, in Rocky IV theatrical, Apollo is sort of a plot device. He's a plot point that needs to be hit. And in this movie, it's more fleshed out, and he's not just used as a death that needs to occur in order for the rest of the movie to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Even, you know, right to the end when, there's a point, in between round one and two of the Apollo Drago fight, when Rocky says, "Don't do this to me." And, you know, for a second, Rocky makes it about him. And then, you know, Apollo just, he's like, I'm telling you not to stop the fight no matter what. This is on me, you know, kind of like taking the heat off of Rocky, you know what I mean? And it's like Apollo knew that he was, and Duke even said in a speech at the funeral about how the warrior has the right to die.
To decide how they die. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. And it was, it brought Apollo's death new meaning to me, because I always thought, like, watching the movie all these years, saying like Apollo, it's almost like he knew he was going to die, and he told Rocky no. Like, his last word before that death punch was no, when Rocky was about to throw in the towel. And and Duke's speech at the funeral about the warrior getting to choose the way they die, I was like, wow, like it made Apollo's death mean much more to me.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you made that connection between the fight and then the speech Duke gave, because for me at least, it felt like in this cut of the movie, Duke, if anybody, should have made the call to stop the fight after that first round. There shouldn't have been a second round. But now that you sort of make the connection to Duke's speech, it makes perfect sense that he didn't. Another thing that occurred in that fight that was a major change, and I think probably one of the most controversial for me, was the moment where Rocky doesn't throw in the towel. In the theatrical, there's moments, seconds, I don't know how many, where he makes the decision not to. Right. And in this new cut, and you just watched it, you know, today, you said so. Did it feel like in that moment, Rocky didn't have any choice? Like, it almost seems like it's the choice was completely taken away from Rocky in this new cut.
Yeah, that was actually, I had my my notes app open while I was in the movies, kind of just jotting stuff down during the movie. And one of the things that I wrote, let me see if I can find it here. Makes it look like Rocky was going to throw in a towel, but it happened so quickly that he didn't even have a chance. So that was my takeaway there. It's Rocky didn't really have the opportunity, because the second he picked up the towel was the second that Drago gave that death blow.
Yeah. I mean, and how did that sort of resonate with you after, you know, 36 years of seeing it the other way and actually having that aspect of it really sort of inform Creed and Creed II?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked, I always thought that Rocky holding on to the towel for as long as he did him a disservice. And it really did kind of put the weight on Rocky, you know, saying that you did have the chance. You had, like you said, seconds and seconds to throw that towel, but, you know, you chose not to, which kind of puts some of the responsibility on Rocky's shoulders. And, this, I think it almost takes the responsibility off of Rocky.
Yeah.
That was his intention. He was going to throw it, but he didn't have the time to.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you wanted to sort of talk about in this section of the movie, you know, leading up to, you know, Apollo's death?
I liked, Drago was a lot more animated. He was less robotic, in that one part where he was taunting Apollo. That wasn't in the original cut, right?
No, the Drago Apollo fight for me is markedly better.
Yeah.
It's Apollo comes out of it looking better. Mm-hmm. Drago comes out of it looking better. I think Sly was able to bring his years of experience as a filmmaker to those fights. And I think that's really the thing that he knocked out of the park with this new cut was how both fights were sort of energized, if you will.
Yeah. The big wide open punches. I don't think were as
evident. The shotgun blast punches were taken out.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the other thing. It sounded more like, hitting meat instead of a car crash.
Yeah.
The fight itself. I also noticed there was a lot more focus on Marianne Creed too. Also at the end of the fight where she shouts Apollo, I don't know how many times, mm-hmm. When she sees him go down, and she's actually trying to fight to get into the ring, but she's blocked by that huge crowd. So, unfortunately that was the last thing we saw of her, but you know, there was a lot more focus on her emotional state at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we get, extended, funeral stuff as well, where we do see her and we see the two kids who are mm-hmm. never referenced in either of the Creed movies. Like,
no, and they didn't look much older in this than they did in Rocky II.
Yeah.
When Apollo's reading the hate mail.
Yeah.
And they go running through the house. They look like they're almost the same age as then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we don't even want to get into the timeline problems with the Rocky movie. So I think we can give Sly a pass on that one. So I do know we talked a little bit about the extended nature of the funeral sequence. And I think probably another big sequence from this section of the film is Rocky with sort of the boxing commission. And I know you're very sort of up on script pages and novelization. So was that sort of a scene you were hoping to see or expecting to see?
I fully expected to see it because they referenced it in the newspaper article, right? In the original theatrical cut, but they never showed it. So I was like, they'll probably have that scene with him in the boxing commission, which was in the novelization. And it pretty much like just played out. I don't know how well known it is that Rocky's title was vacated in Rocky V, which is why Union Kane held it.
Yeah.
Right. Paper he champion, didn't fight yeah. Rocky for it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Paper champion. Exactly. And it's somewhat confusing as to why, like if Rocky retired as a champ, like why, you know, like what happened, but he actually lost the title because the boxing commission refused to sanction the fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now to get all of that sort of good stuff that we got, we lost some stuff. And I don't think we can have a discussion about this new cut of the movie without talking about the robot. I know the robot's always been sort of a point of debate between people that think it's goofy, or just took the comedy too far. Mm-hmm. But for me, the loss of the robot sacrificed a lot of moments that we get in the theatrical cut that are just gone in this cut, because if there was even the hint of a robot, it's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, Paulie's birthday where he gets the robot.
Right.
Greatly reduces when we actually get some full on Paulie in this movie. It really doesn't happen now until Russia. But for me, another key point was we lose Rocky's son watching the fight and that whole moment between Rocky and his son at the end of the movie. So, on record, on podcast moving forward.
Perpetuity?
Yes, in perpetuity. What are your feelings on Sly removing the robot?
I've heard a few interviews with Sly where he says that he saw the robot in some pizza place commercial or something like that. And, you know, it is right out of the 80s. Robots were all the rage in the 80s. But if we're to believe the interview that Ryan, our buddy Ryan, had with the creator of the robot.
Yeah.
The robot was designed to help autistic children.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Or not to help, but to be a therapeutic type of,
yeah,
uh-huh, type of tool for them, for, mm-hmm, autistic kids. And we all know that Sylvester Stallone has an autistic child.
Yeah, Serge.
That's what drew Sylvester Stallone to the robot. And having the robot on set, it was told that his son Sergio loved the robot and he always wanted to be around and always wanted to see it. But somehow that's been erased from the record.
Yeah.
And and he has this pizzeria story. Knowing what, like I said, if I forgot the name of the creator right now, I'm sorry, Ryan, but if that guy is to be believed, I liked what the robot stood for.
Mm-hmm.
And so removing it is like erasing, you know, what the robot stands for. I mean, if you want to erase it, get rid of it because it's a goofy 80s tool and you're trying to take as much of the 80s out of it as possible, then I can understand that. But I mean, the robot is goofy, but I always enjoyed it.
Yeah. You know? Do you think from a storytelling perspective, the movie suffers a little bit?
I hate the fact that all that stuff with his son was taken out because the end of the movie where, you know, he tells his kid, I love you. That's the moment that I've always cried, mm-hmm, at the end, you know, cause the kid mouths it back to him.
Yeah.
And that's the moment that always got me. And I was missing that in this.
Yeah. I almost feel like, I think when I spoke with Mike about that aspect of this film, we decided that stripping all that away and only really having Rocky's interaction with his son in the sort of the bedroom before he leaves, and losing that I love you moment sort of helps inform Rocky V, mm-hmm, Rocky Balboa, the relationship with son in that movie. So it almost supports that a little bit more to show, you know, that maybe Rocky was distant and not as loving as he could have been. I mean,
you're right.
I'm not going to make that argument, but it's an argument that can be made.
Yeah, it could be retconned that way, but you know, I liked it the way it was. I also want to mention, speaking of the talk that he has with his son before the fight, which has changed somewhat from, mm-hmm, the theatrical cut, right? Hang on, let me see here. The one more round monologue that he has with his kid, mm-hmm, right? There's one part in it. So he tells in the original theatrical cut, he tells his son, going that one more round when you don't think you can is what makes all the difference in your life.
Mm-hmm.
In this cut, he says, going that one more round is what makes all the difference. He used for this one didn't have that part when he says, when you don't think you can.
Yeah.
And that line itself, like, was always, that was the one that hit for me, is because, you know, it's going that one more round is one thing, but going that one more round when you don't think you can, you know what I mean? That's what shows the grit and, you know, determination in somebody, you know, dredging up something that, you know, normal people of, you know, lesser stature can't fathom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that, it bugged me. Just those couple of words, removing those couple of words bugged me a little bit.
Yeah. And you have to assume that there was a reason for it, unless also it was just for whatever reason, Sly liked that take better when he was reviewing the footage.
And that take, he goes on to give the, you got to do what's right for you. Other people might think it's wrong, which backs up his, you know, his motivations for taking the fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I did like that addition to it. You know, you got to do what's right for you. But you know, I don't know. I was missing that one. You know, that one extra round comment.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting sort of omission. So one thing I did like about the arrival in Russia is we get a little bit more of the guy they meet with. And I noticed this because I watched this new director's cut, and then I watched the theatrical, and then I watched the director's cut again. Mm-hmm. So it's something I picked up on. But the fact that in the theatrical cut, Paulie says no sparring, you know, no sparring and, you know, no TV or whatever. In this new cut of the movie, we actually get the explanation that there's some kind of confusion there that a sparring partner may or may not have been requested and Rocky's not getting it. To me, that feels like something that should have always been in the movie, and I'm curious why it was replaced. But do you have any feelings about those slight little changes in Russia that sort of add a little bit more cohesive, you know, cohesive through line to that sequence?
Yeah no, I love that addition because I always caught, you know, you hear Paulie saying no sparring, like, yeah, you know, we're gonna crack out here, you know, and it seemed like a like random because there's like, how does he know there's no sparring? And then it, you know, we find out it's Duke that asks when the sparring partners, and the guy says no, and that's when you know, that's when Paulie says no sparring. So we kind of like that, it completes that little circle right there. And, mm-hmm. and that was, I think it benefited the movie. Like you said, it's a 2 second scene. Why was it cut out in the first place? But you know, I think the little minor changes like that, like it enhanced it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paulie saying when he's walking to the cabin, saying this is a good place to die.
Yeah.
that was a good line too.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about this earlier, but like, you know, Paulie like tripping in the snow and stuff, it just feels
so glad he kept that.
Yeah, but it feels weird now because you've taken away a lot of the levity from earlier in the movie.
Yeah, well, I know, and you know, even leading up to the fall in the snow, he's asking for his comics, and you know, how's he gonna watch? He's just a string of complaints, and then he takes a dump in the snow. Like that was. I'm glad he kept the snow part though.
And aside from the fight in Russia, it's my memory that a lot of that stuff, aside from what we just talked about, is pretty much. As we saw it, you know, and of course we lose Alvin and the Chipmunks, mm-hmm. and things like that. But was there anything that jumped out at you as being like markedly different, you know, leading up to the fight?
I did, you know, like you said, the absence of the Alvin and the Chipmunks, but it was replaced by Conti's score. So I wasn't, I wasn't mad about it, you know?
Yeah.
The talk between Duke and Rocky in that part was that changed much?
Yeah, I think, yeah. He says, well, I raised Apollo, right? Like,
yeah, but he said that, he's always said that.
Oh, has he? Okay. Yeah. Maybe it was a different take or
maybe
a different delivery or something. Yeah. You know what? I do feel like that scene had something about it that was different.
I think a lot of, some of Duke's delivery in that when, you know, when he says, you know what you got to do it. I feel like that was a little bit different because I think I remember the do it when he says do it. It's like a close up on his face, but in this, it's like a long shot of the two of them. But the small changes like that, you know, we notice, but I don't think it changes much.
Yeah. And of course, Sly was smart enough not to really screw with the montages, although in the earlier montage where he's driving, all of the old footage was put into black and white, whereas in the theatrical, yes, all that footage is in color. But I mean, you can't mess with perfection. And those two montages have really sort of set the standard for modern, you know, montages. And we've talked to death about the montages before. So before we get to the Drago fight, is there anything you want to sort of talk about leading up to it?
I wanted to ask you something.
Okay.
How did you feel about when Adrian tells him you can't win, and he doesn't have the, he has to be willing to die himself. He's got to stand in front of me, you know, that speech, until he's looking in the mirror and it's an internal monologue to himself. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's before the fight when he has that, if he's going to beat me, he has to be willing to stand in front of me and to do that. What do you think of that little change?
I like it. I mean, I like any moments in these movies that really get more into the character and to the and into the, you know, humanity and psychology of the characters. So yeah, I think that worked. I think it was effective.
Yeah, it was such a roller coaster of emotions, because when he walked out of the house without having that, without that comment, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I was like, that's the best part of this scene. And then they inserted it as an internal monologue when he's looking in the mirror and he's looking at the pictures of Adrian. And, and I was like, wow, I was like, what an interesting artistic choice. And I thought he nailed it. I thought it really worked in that part.
Yeah. So, and that also informs something that happens later, because in the trailer, I know it was a trailer moment that you really responded to. But, and I believe it's like one of the first and the only times now in a Rocky movie, other than hearing like Mickey come to him in the, you know, after he gets knocked down or something, but we actually get Rocky talking to himself. How did you feel about that? And I mean, how do you think it gels with sort of what we've heard from Rocky in the past movies, where we've more, just like I said, gotten like, you know, Mickey sort of pepping him up, where here he is, he's sort of attempting to pep himself up.
Yeah. I haven't seen Rocky Balboa nearly as much, but doesn't he do that in Rocky Balboa?
Goodness.
One time he's down and his voiceover to himself is like, what was it you said to the kid? You know, and then he repeats to himself something that he said to his son.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a good, kind of new thing he did.
Yeah. In this new cut, it kind of informs that and adds a continuity to it. Yeah.
Like almost like that's his method when he feels like he can't go that extra round, you know what I'm saying? Like he kind of has a pep talk to himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? It's probably been way too long since I've watched Balboa, because we've never covered it for Slycast.
Well, and Ryan's covered it more recently, so maybe he can.
Inform I'm us. Sure when Ryan gets back from his deployment and listens to this, he'll be yelling at the yelling at his headphones. So hi, Ryan. Sorry for any for forgetting names and forgetting moments from Rocky Balboa.
So also in that voiceover, that's Old Man Sly doing that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I had some off sort of podcast comments, and I'll read them later from Greg Troyan, who's been a guest on the show before. And he mentioned that too bad they couldn't have done something like maybe sped it up just enough to make it not sound like it was. I mean, the voice is close, but you can tell it's an older man. Yeah,
but it's also Rocky at that time is beat to shit. So, you know, you could just say it's beat up Rocky, not that old man Rocky.
So, I mean, at that point, again, we get sort of a re-edited fight. And then I think the biggest changes at that point are how the Russian premiere reacts. In the theatrical, of course, we get him applauding.
Right.
And in this one, we get him, you know, sort of looking down at Drago's handler with disgust and walking out, which of course informs what happens to Drago and Drago's family. So how did you feel about sort of that, you know, less sort of Rocky swaying all of Russia to just Rocky captivating the crowd?
Yeah, I actually loved it. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, at the end of the original cut, we're led to believe that Rocky ends the Cold War.
Yeah, it's absurd, right?
I mean, yeah, it's kind of been like the, you know, the 35-year-old joke that Rocky ended the Cold War. But I loved it. And like you said, and this is my thought, I actually, on the way home from the theater, my brother saw it in Massachusetts at the same time that I did. So we talked on the phone on the way home, and that's what I said. Like I said, this is the direct connection to what happens to Drago in Creed 2. Like, he's exiled from Russia, right? Isn't he thrown out to like the Ukraine or something?
Yeah,
like
yeah. That?
Yeah, because he was so disgraced by this loss. And this is, it really kind of hammers that home. Like, the premier was disgusted by it. He doesn't stand up and applaud and say, all right, let's lay down our arms. he's like, screw this Drago bullshit. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I was more impressed that they had coverage of both.
Me too. I was like, where did they get that cut?
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like Sly knew, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You know, who knows? That might have even been like a studio compromise or something, where you shoot it the way you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you shoot it the way the studio wants it, and then you figure it out after the fact. So I almost wonder if that was it. I don't think that's anything that's referenced in the novel, right? Like, they don't get into that detail.
Not that I recall. I'm going to have to go over it again before we start.
I don't think so, because it's I don't think it's a moment that really plays well in a novelization. So I think that was the main stuff I wanted to hit about the sort of the final fight. Is there anything you wanted to cover there that we didn't sort of hit on?
Really just the end speech.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as rah-rah and patriotic. You know, I mean, he does the if I can change, you can change, everybody can change thing. But it's not, you know, to a musical crescendo as he's screaming and, you know, jumping with the flag wrapped around him. I love that old ending. Love it. And yeah. I don't think nothing that Sly did with this ending could have matched up to that.
Oh yeah. No, I would agree. And then he also added that moment where Rocky sort of acknowledges Drago as well, which,
mm-hmm. They it was almost like, at the end.
Yeah.
The
it's almost like, hey, I know you killed my friends, but or my friend or whatever, but hey, you know,
it's like a
sportsmanship, you know, true sportsmanship. Yeah, like
two warriors respecting one another on the battlefield. The funny thing, and this I really scratched my head at, is during his speech, he goes, "My best friend once said you can't change," and he died. It was like, did you ever see Step Brothers?
Oh yeah,
movie Step Brothers, when they're doing their business pitch, and he says, "We put liquid paper on a bee and it died." that's what that reminded me of. I was like, what the hell was that? But yeah, I mean, that's more of a, I don't know, man, that was a gripe I had. I said, I don't know why he used that take, but
yeah.
I liked him and Adrian walking off together. You know, the crowd was cheering. I thought it was more in line with the original ending for the original Rocky.
Yeah.
Rocky 1, with him and Adrian walking off the, mm-hmm. walking out of the arena together. Instead of, I don't know. I mean, I liked it, you know, to see him and Adrian walking off together. It was a little bit anticlimactic, you know, but
yeah,
mm-hmm. I think that's what he was going for.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. So, I guess before we get into your final thoughts for it, moving forward, when you're going to go watch Rocky IV in the future, of course, not for Rocky Minute, but which version are you think you're inclined to sort of grab off the shelf?
I was thinking that, man. I really was like, this is new, and new is always exciting. So I kind of want to get used to this version more, but my gut is always going to go with the original.
Yeah.
Always 9.9 times out of 10, I'm going to go with the original.
Yeah, no, that's the sort of the conclusion myself and Sean came to. I mean, it is what it is, and it's the movie we've known for 30 plus years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with that said, are there any sort of final thoughts you have about Rocky vs. Drago, the ultimate director's cut?
One other point I wanted to bring up that me and my brother talked about after the movie was, we talked a lot about, and this is the thing that I noticed most, is the music.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The changes, the addition to Bill Conti's score, and while kind of playing alongside Vince DiCola's score. Like it was done really well. And my brother had a point that it's like anytime you're talking about Rocky, Rocky and Apollo, Rocky and Adrian, we get Bill Conti. But then it's like when we see Drago training or, you know, anything happening with Drago, the press conferences, you have that synth electronic mm-hmm. type of score.
Yeah.
Almost like my brother kind of compared it to like Drago being like a futuristic
robot. Yeah.
Robot, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And it's like, you know, the robot went along with the futuristic music mm-hmm. and Rocky went along with the music that we all, you know, we've all come used to.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point.
Overall, I understand why Sly recut this. It's I mean, I think it's the most divisive Rocky movie.
Absolutely.
More so than five. I think five is more universally disliked.
Right.
But Rocky IV was right in my wheelhouse as a young kid. Mm-hmm. Right? I loved it. I still love it to this day. And if I got a couple hours and I'm going to throw in a Rocky movie while I'm cleaning the house or something, it's going to be Rocky IV.
Yeah.
you don't have to sit and pay attention to it. It's a one long music video.
Right.
And
right.
For that reason, like I've always called it my favorite Rocky, not because it's the best, it's the most well-made movie. It's because it's the most entertaining one. And for a 7-year-old kid, it was perfect for me.
Yeah.
So I thought it was flawless, you know, in its original state, but I get why Sly did it this way. And I know the people that grew up hating Rocky IV because they were probably a little bit older, liked this version maybe a little bit better after repeat viewings. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to fault anybody for liking this version better. I prefer the original.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's no shame in saying that. And it's great that we got another Rocky movie to watch and enjoy. And one of the great things about the Rocky fandom is the ability to sort of have these debates and discussions about which moments are the best and which movies rank higher than other ones. So this is another addition to a decades long conversation that Rocky fans have been having now. So that's pretty exciting.
I will say though, if you intercut like some of the deleted scenes, some of the Apollo stuff with the original cut.
Oh yeah.
You know, instead of getting rid of the old stuff and inserting new, cause I don't think he really made up any screen time, right?
With
the stuff he removed and the stuff he inserted.
No, it's like a 2-minute difference, I think. And actually, after our discussion here, I am going to read a pretty lengthy letter from Steve Ricardo, who was on way back when we did the Rocky V work print discussion, and he talked to me about the 80s remix. And I know that if Steve himself doesn't do it, there is a fan editor out there who's going to take all this footage we've gotten now and make the ultimate Rocky
movie. Yeah, yeah.
So I am definitely on board for watching that because I think, like you said, you know, take all those extra character moments, keep the robot, keep some mm-hmm. of that quote unquote goofy shit, and then also have the more powerful, powerfully edited fight sequences.
Yes.
So, I think there is a hybrid cut out there, and like I said, I'm gonna read Steve's comments after we're done here. So. Right. Yeah, it's going to be part of the discussion now moving forward, which is really cool. Doug, I am always glad we're able to make time to connect for these discussions. Yes. And I think you had some valuable insight here about this new cut of the movie. And I always appreciate you taking the time out and joining us. And I look forward to Rocky 3-minute and listening and reliving minutes that I talked about with you that I probably forgot.
Yeah. You have no idea. It's going to be like brand new. I love talking to you. It's especially about this stuff and catching up in our personal lives. And you know, it's always great talking to you. And I appreciate the invite to come on and chat some Rocky with you.
Oh, anytime. And I'm sure it's going to happen again. All right, Doug. And like I said, be on the lookout for Rocky Minute Season 3 coming soon. All right, Doug, take care. It was always always great talking with you.
All right, man. Take care.
Okay, and there we go. So we'll patiently wait for the Rocky 3-minute which sounds like it's going to come sooner than expected. And before we get going, I just wanted to share some comments from Rocky IV superfan and previous guest on this show, Greg Troyan, who had some comments that he shared with me offline. And I asked if I could include him on the show, and he said, go for it. So he said, I saw Rocky vs. Drago. I loved it. Great new take on the film. Much more serious and great characterization for Adrian, Apollo, and Drago. I think the political tones are much more timeless in this version. I think I still prefer the fun of the theatrical cut, but this one pairs really nicely with the Creed films and feels closer in tone to those two films. Very dreary, bleak, and somber. So kind of the total opposite of the over-the-top fun of the original, and I love it for that. All right, cool. So some nice comments there from Greg. And I just want to take a minute to thank everybody for listening and always supporting the show when we put new episodes up. And I hope that you're enjoying some of the content on the network itself, because there's a lot of good programs there. And I've actually popped up on a couple of the Hard for Justice podcast where we talk about Steven Seagal movies. So make sure you check that out if you haven't. And again, hopefully you've enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk again soon.